Libby Gore's Sunday on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
Okay, we're getting up to the business end of the VCE English season. But I think we've pretty much covered nearly all of the books. I hope we've been of use to you. In this segment, we're going back to the context, and Sarah Chomiak from Laylaw Secondary College is going to help you in this encountering conflict part, the theme. Good morning to you, Sarah.
Good morning.
We were just talking about the different ways you can approach the context thing. You can do it as an expository essay, as an imaginative piece, or as a persuasive argument. I never get the difference between expository and persuasive.
Well, expository, we really try and tell the kids it's about opening up the prompt and taking it in a lot of different directions. So the idea of exposing, which comes from the word expository, I think is something they can relate to. So it's different from a traditional text response essay that they'd write for the first part of the exam, in that they can also bring in outside knowledge that doesn't necessarily relate to the texts they've studied. And they can actually talk about both the texts they've studied that link to that context if they want to as well.
And persuasive?
Persuasive, they probably taking more of a point of view, but you can actually do an imaginative persuasive. So, for example, with The Crucible, some of my students in the past have taken on a role of one of the characters and argued their point of view about a particular area of the themes in the text. So you might take on Reverend Hale arguing a certain thing about the way the trials have worked and it being not fair.
Oh, like fan fiction.
So a little bit, yeah. So they can use that as a way in as well with persuasive, but a lot of them will just use the prompt and then argue one way or the other and then acknowledge the opposing viewpoint as well.
I like expository because you can actually weave in current events that are going on, or indeed a piece of art or another movie or something like that, and use it to flesh out.
Yeah, it's really broad for the kids too, and I think that can be a little bit intimidating, but if you approach it in the right way with them, then they do start making those connections, and often they'll see something on the news and they'll bring it up in class and they say, oh, we could talk about that. So there's lots of ways in.
I got a good one for this. Let's start. So our starting point with this encountering conflict, our starting text is the film Paradise Road, made by Bruce Beresford, great Australian filmmaker. And it's how the conflict of World War II affects the lives of the women who are prisoners of war held by the Japanese.
Yeah, so these women, basically the starting point of the film is the Raffles Hotel in Singapore, and that's before the conflict really reaches them. So you see these women enjoying the fine life of dining, and some of the nurses are dancing with the soldiers, and all of a sudden this huge shell explodes somewhere nearby. Soldier rushes in, interrupts the lounge singer, who's actually Julie Anthony, and the kid, when you try and explain who she is, and you say she sings the national anthem, and the kids go, oh, yeah, we know her voice. But he interrupts and suddenly the war's right there with them. So you really see them going from that original, this is our nice, relatively okay life, the war's nearby, and you're going to something that's definitely going to affect their lives in lots of different ways. So the early scenes of the film, you also see the women being evacuated on the ship, and then the ship's attacked by Japanese pilots, so the ship actually sinks and then the women are left, you know, to survive. So that's also pretty full on. So the experience is right there at the start for them in terms of the ways that they have to adapt very quickly, and some of them cope a lot better than others. So a lot of the actresses in this are actually really well known. So there's Glenn Close and she plays Adrienne Pargeter, one of the main characters. So you see her adapting quickly. So she actually throws her arms around this young girl on the ship when the pilots are shooting at her, and then the girl dies anyway. But it's just that shock on her face of, my God, this is actually something that's now affecting me and my life. And then you've also got Jennifer L, who's in Pride and Prejudice as Elizabeth Bennet, who people might know her more from. But she's actually also in the film as an English ex-model. So she's pretty well-educated, speaks in a very nice way, and she's able to get some of the other women who are a bit reluctant to jump in the sea when the ship's sinking by saying, remember, we met at the cricket club, and grab hold of me and we'll jump together. So the women all really, there's some of them that just cope with it really well, and there's others who really, you see the look on their face, and you've got, for example, Mrs. Roberts, who's one of the other women prisoners of war, and she doesn't like the idea of having to crowd in with everyone else on the boat, and she's clinging onto her little tiny fluffy dog and holding onto him as she falls into the water. So you've got all the contrasts of the experiences right at the start of the film.
But how does that translate into answering an exam question on encountering conflict? Like, what are the sorts of issues that stem from this particular film?
Well, with conflict, you're likely to get a prompt that will either look at the causes of a conflict or the nature or the effects. effects. So I think for students doing Paradise Road, having one on the effects would be the best topic they could get, because there's so many obvious things that it shows you. So if you do get a prompt that looks at the effects of conflict, you can start off talking about that contrast, but then later on we see the experiences of the women in the camp too. So we start out with the hotel, and the camp is a complete contrast to that, where you've got malaria, you've got the tropical heat, you've got the women working out in the sun and the hot weather. So it really is a very different world, and some of them cope, again, better than others in terms of how they encounter the difficulties of the situation. So there's a couple that are quite unflappable. So you'd probably, as a student, you'd want to be picking up on the different responses to conflict that the women have, because there's a few very obvious patterns. So when you watch it with your students in class, you'll look at the different characters and which women have what we call a good response. I'm sure my students could think of better vocabulary to use, or which ones don't respond in a way that helps them or helps others. So that's one way you could go about structuring a response in the exam too, looking at how the women actually respond to the conflict.
Remember, this is an interactive segment. If you would like to take part, the call number is 1300 222 774. Are you studying Paradise Road and want to ask a question? Or you can text 0437 774 774. I have a text message asking me who was the artist who featured in State Secrets. Her name is Yvonne Audette. She is an abstract artist. Tell me, where do you go through from there? You've got prisoners of war coming from different racial backgrounds. Has that got any significance in terms of the questions you could be asked?
I think because the prompts have to be broad, they have to apply in a range of ways. But looking at the racism that flares up at times is definitely something the students could also discuss. So there's, for example, women from Australian backgrounds. So there's the
Kate
nurse.
Blanchett.
Yes, and she's Susan McCarthy, the nurse, and the students automatically recognise her. And she comes from, she says, a sheep station, and she has to explain this concept of a station to the German doctor that's working in the camp too. And she says, you know, like a train station? No, a sheep station. So that's obviously a very different world from, say, the rich upbringing of Adrian, who's she's the wife of a tea plantation owner. So they've got a different background to what Kate Blanchett's character has.
And then do they have a different response, therefore, to the conflict?
Yes, they do. So Susan, because she's a nurse, she's somebody who is initially she's doing what's practical. So she will do things like handing out the tea when the women are all on the boat. And you see that they really, the nurses, just muck in and help everybody. Whereas some of the other ladies who see themselves as being a little bit above everyone else can't quite imagine how they could now be on equal terms with some of the others. So we've got a contrast in the English characters, because you'd expect some of them to perhaps be a little bit more snobbish than others. And Mrs. Roberts, who I mentioned before, is an example of that, where she sits there with her daughter saying, who are these people that I'm with? And, you know, why am I going to be in a vocal orchestra with them? And Mrs. Roberts really doesn't cope all that well to start with, but she does undergo a lot of change.
How does the choir act as a catalyst for change?
Well, the women that join the vocal orchestra, they initially start sort of being a little bit sceptical about it, because they worry that the Japanese guards will look at it as something threatening and that they will then be in danger. Because really, the Japanese guards are this constant threatening presence, and they're there in the background all the time. So they worry about the consequences for themselves. But when Adrian and Mrs. Drummond, Mrs. Drummond's a missionary, so she comes from a very different background to some of the other women. So she and Adrian really unite the women, and they can't meet as a whole group because that will draw suspicion. So they start having the rehearsals by just singing when they're sewing or chopping up the food for dinner. So that's how they manage to rehearse all the sections, and then they come together and do the performance. So it's really something constant in this time where there's turmoil all around them all the time. But also it's a way for them to be able to link to their own homes. And some of the songs and the music that the vocal orchestra produce, there's English Country Garden. So that's a complete contrast from the landscape that they're in. So that's a really clear link the students can talk about too.
How do you draw in outside stories and link them in with this? For instance, would the MLC conflict between women have anything to do with this?
Well, I don't know if I'd talk about it with Paradise Road, but you could definitely bring in news stories as long as you can make a clear parallel somehow. And I think more with Paradise Road, students would look maybe more at world wars. And one obvious link is between the prisoners of war that the Germans took. So, for example, the way they treated the Jews compared to the way that these prisoners, the women, are treated. So in both cases, you've got civilian prisoners who really are, in a way, innocent because they weren't soldiers. They're not combatants. So that's a clear link you can make. But the way that they're treated is quite different.
Thank you so much. You're such a good teacher.
Thank you.
You know your notes. You know your stuff. So I'm really pleased that you came in. Sarah Chumiak from Laylaw Secondary College. Paradise Road is the film.